This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg, and joining me now is Casey Bookman, who is running for commissioner to be on the Public Service Commission. Casey, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, yeah, it's great that I can be on your show, and that's a pleasure. And it's sad that we have to do this online, I mean, by phone and stuff, but, you know, with the way things are, this is quite all right.
It does make a difference to have the right technology in place. This pandemic would certainly be something else without a lot of the tech infrastructure that we have.
Yes.
Why Public Service Commission?
Well, when I ran in 2018, I didn't think my wife looked at me and she said, you're not done yet. Mm. And I said, no, not really. I'm not done yet. But I still think that there's a lot left to do in the Public Service Commission. And that's why I run. I think that we still need a working man in our state government, a true working one man, one who is actually has the scars to show it instead of just paper cuts.
And a working man, you're an iron worker.
Yeah, I'm a union iron worker, been in it over 30 years. Actually, November 2nd is my birthday, and that's the day I'll retire from my union. And it has done really good. And hopefully, come November 3rd, I'll have a really good birthday present.
How do you think that being an iron worker, if elected, could inform your role as a public service commissioner?
My trade has prepared me for anything that the Public Service Commission has to handle. I've had over 300 people of all different trades work under me, and I've done various, you know, big projects around the state. You know, one of the most notable on the New Sanford Hospital, I was in charge of the East Wing up there, and you know, if that's for any instance, if people have any doubt if I'm prepared to hold that office. And also in many instances, the areas that I've worked in, I've actually worked in 7 of the 11 areas or used them for my job or in my job as a union iron worker. So my job as a union iron worker has not only prepared me for the Public Service Commission, but it also has prepared me to deal with outside entities and with them.
So coming at this from the perspective of having worked under the regulations that are set by the Public Service Commission, what would you change if elected?
Well, one of the things that the PSC does a lot, and I've heard them say it, that they only regulate, they don't legislate, and they leave that up to the legislative branch of the government. Well, for me, that just tells me they're kind of lazy. Because if you see something wrong in an area that you're regulating, then you should be able to go in and talk to your legislator or write it up yourself. Any citizen or anybody can make up a law for Century Code, and you just present it to the legislature. So, you know, when we look at that, that's one thing I will change. I would make sure that the things that I see that are wrong, that we can hopefully get them changed by legislative action if they're that severe. So, I would definitely talk to the other sides of the government.
So what are Casey Bookman's top priorities?
The top priorities, I truly believe, are the infrastructure of our natural gas pipelines and oil pipelines. I truly believe I would work, even though we regulate it and stuff, I truly believe we need to talk to people, to have a discussion with our legislature on getting either a study on how much it would cost to make sure that we could expand our infrastructure to the pipeline infrastructure for natural gas to all the citizens of North Dakota, since we have abundance and it would reduce flaring. Another area is broadband, making sure that fast, affordable broadband is equal to all people. You know, the more money you got, it seems like the faster your broadband can be. And also on that, I'm really into net metering, and not too many people know about it in North Dakota. Net metering is, you know, you produce your own, basically in a nutshell, you produce your own electricity for your place or residence, and you sell it back to the grid. And with renewables and everything coming deeper and faster, I think we need to look at that and give people an area where they can be have zero costs and electrical costs to them for their houses. Even communities can look at that. Even co-ops can look at that. There's just different ways because the way that our energy and power grid is changing, and it's going to change fast. And we need to have people in the Public Service Commission who will adapt to that change. And I don't think that my opponent and his party, period, really adapt to anything.
We do already have the ability to sell power back to the grid. What would be the difference with net metering?
It's basically the same thing, but no people, net metering is individuals. And that's the same thing what we're talking about, but it's not really talked about. We have a lot of sun in North Dakota, believe it or not. And they have come so far with solar technology, that it's unbelievable. I believe in all of the above energy process, along with wind and solar, geothermal and everything like that. People have been sold a bill of goods about coal. I'm going to tell you what, I've worked in the coal industry for most of my life in some way or another, and it is on a downhill slide. When people think about the steel industry or the car industry, those people who worked in those industries did not think their jobs would go away. But every industry or manufacturing has a shelf life. And as with the car and steel manufacturing and that industry, coal industry does have a shelf life. Will we entirely get rid of it? I truly do not believe. I don't think we'll get rid of all of the fossil fuel imprint in our society, but we will. But we can do as the technology increases and advances, we need to embrace it and expand on that to make sure that each individual town community has access to affordable, cheaper energy for them.
We're visiting with Casey Bookman. This is part of our Meet the Candidates series for anyone running for statewide office. You can read more about his platform at caseybookman.com, and that's CaseyBookman.com. And he is challenging Commissioner Brian Crotius to sit on the North Dakota Public Service Commission. And Casey, you also mentioned that among your top concerns, broadband internet, and I'm thinking specifically during a pandemic, has really highlighted the need for this across the state as more and more people are using it to either work from home or attend school. What have you noticed specific to the pandemic that has maybe changed how you think about broadband internet access?
Well, the pandemic has really exposed is twofold. It exposed where our state government is lacking, and that's one bad thing. And the good thing, it says that people can with the society and the internet today, we can work from home. So, and it expands a company's way to hire instead of have to have them come to a big city. They can hire like in Minneapolis, out in, let's say, in Solon, North Dakota, which is really rural, and the coverage or anything broadband down there or fiber optics is really not the best. So if we want to really make this a world economy, which is gradually trending to, and people don't want to admit it, but it's gradually trending to, with the internet and everything like that, we need to make sure that everybody has access to the same speed of internet so that no one is left behind. When we talk about with the pandemic, people may want to, parents may want to teach their kids at home now. We want to make sure everything in the rural areas has just as much access to the internet and broadband as in the urban areas.
What would need to be done in order for that to happen?
We need to be able to put in more stuff, more fiber optics, and more on Just to expand it, we need to have a dialogue. We need to go back to, which I believe, to our nonpartisan league roots as a state. We need to take the problem that we see it as a state, and we need to solve it like the nonpartisan league did when they first come up. And we need to use we could use our legacy funds to do that. We could use the interest off the legacy fund to help areas across the state. But we need to start now, not in 10 years, not in 20 years. We need to start now in many of the areas I'm talking about that are on my platform to expand on it.
As you said yourself, the PSC is a regulatory body, not a legislative body. They're not able to make laws or secure funding. What difference does it make where the funding would come from for this? Could you even impact that on the commission?
Well, you know, I'm a nonpartisan leaguer, and my grandpa was a nonpartisan leaguer, dues-paying nonpartisan leaguer, and I am also a dues-paying nonpartisan leaguer. You know, I believe that here in North Dakota, with our uniqueness, we're commodity-based, we have our legacy fund, we have the opportunity to expand each individual with their one-time harvest instead of most of that money going down to Texas and Louisiana. You know, we can keep that money here. And as a public service commission, you know, yeah, I only regulate, but what is that as a citizen and not also as a public service commission? If I see something wrong, you know, and if I'm in an area where I'm an elected official, that brings more clout in my mind, my opinion, to what they're talking about. I think that our elected leaders get hung up in so much of what they're only doing or trying to lack up doing this thing that they forget about the people.
You've called yourself a nonpartisan leaguer a couple of times. Of course, you're running on the ticket of the Democratic NPL party, and it has been since Bruce Hagan, who served starting back in 1961. He has been the only non-Republican in the multi-decade history of the North Dakota PSC to serve. What do you think your chances are?
My chances are good. I'm not gonna, you know, I really believe they're good. You know, that for me, I know that the nonpartisan league resonates out in the rural North Dakota, and it resonates in the urban areas too. And we need to get back to, you know, people will say we just go back to the old days. Well, let's not, you know, reinvent the wheel, but let's take how we got here and use parts and how to do that. And the nonpartisan league was very instrumental and making North Dakota what it is today. If we have more leaders who follow that principles, and I'm, you know, running for PSC, and I follow the nonpartisan league principles of where the land and the people come first inside North Dakota instead of out of state interests, and keep the money inside and working for North Dakota, that therein lies the difference between me and my opponent and the GOP.
You ran for this office in 2018. What's different about your campaign now, if anything?
Well, the biggest difference, I think, would be name recognition, to be honest with you. You know, and I had a I have from 2018. If you get a basic a diagram of where you need to make up votes, you can just go online to the Secretary of State's office and see where everybody voted it, and you'll know where to concentrate to try and meet people and sway them to vote for you. So in 2018, I really didn't have that. This time I've had that. I've been using it. I spent a lot of time out here in the eastern part of the state. Actually, I'm calling from Grand Forks right now. And so I've spent a lot of time out in the Red River Valley talking to them, you know, up in Devil's Lake and everything where the populace is. But also, I spent the same amount of time out in rural North Dakota making sure that they hear that they know that there's a person who has nonpartisan league values that believes that the land and people can work together for the betterment of all.
How has it been campaigning in a pandemic year? I don't know that I would be wanting to open my door up to just anyone knocking on it.
Well, I totally understand that, you know, and you know, even that's even fundraising and everything else. Everything's different, and you know, and You just got to smile and go on and persevere. You know, unlike our opponents who have way more major out-of-state donors than I do and stuff like that, we have to work. We have to constantly work, and we have to figure out ways, ingenious ways to go out and meet people. I've had meet and greets, been to several meet and greets where, you know, you are masked up and you do your social distancing, but yet you're still trying to make the impression. People now, and I know that for a fact, they're still longing for communication now, and it's getting more and more and more. You know, as things get worse in our state, as in cases and everything, you know, who knows how long this will go. And we just need leaders all across the board, up and down in our state, who realize that, who are not afraid to talk to our governor and say, hey, just because you got the big bucks doesn't mean I'm not scared of telling you this is the way to do it. Because I think people are scared of our governor because they're going to put money against them in their campaign. That is so wrong. You know, that's not the nonpartisan league way. That is very wrong. Money should not run a state. You should not run the state like a business, and like a business, as our state and our country is both going downhill.
What's it cost to run for PSC?
I don't, you know, with donations this year, I couldn't even tell you how much I got. It might be the same as last year, I mean, 2018. You know, if you really want to run a competitive race and stuff, you've got to run, you know, between $50,000 to $100,000. And again, in 2018, I did not even raise, I raised, I don't know, we'll say $25,000. I still finished, in percentage-wise in votes, third on a statewide ticket. For not being a well-known name, and I thought that was really encouraging. And this year, with the known, I know my name is known. I know people recognize me, and I truly believe they resonate with the nonpartisan like values that I bring.
You know, we've talked about it being a strange year for campaigning. It's also going to be a strange year for voting, with some people likely choosing to do mail-in voting. What are your recommendations for all voters, even those who wouldn't be voting for you?
Well, I mean, be vote. You know, whether you vote or not, exercise your right as a citizen of North Dakota and our state to do your duty, your due diligent duty to vote. You know, whether for whoever of your choice. In North Dakota, we have absentee voting. If you're unsecure with that about voting in person, make sure you can get on the Secretary of State's website or go to my website, www.caseybookman.com, and I have a links and drop downs that will send you to the Secretary of State's office and file for a absentee ballot. You know, our family does it. I've been doing it all the time my whole life, and there's times that I don't send it in and I go vote in person. But, you know, we still in North Dakota, we have that option, and that is so great.
You've said in a previous interview that former Governor Art Link is your hero. Why?
I'll tell you the story when I first met him in 1972. He was running for governor. They just downgraded from, we used to have two legislatures in Congress, and he was a Western congressional delegate, and he was running for governor in 1972, and he came to my hometown in Stanton, North Dakota, where I grew up at. And I was with my grandpa. My grandpa was a state government hunter. Governor Lincoln and my grandpa were about the same height. And my grandpa took me in his hand. We were hand to hand when we walked up to Governor Link, and he introduced me to then candidate Governor Link. What this is the first time in my whole life I remember a grown adult getting down on one knee and looking me eye to eye, and we had a discussion. I couldn't tell you what we talked about, what went on, but the impression in his voice had meant so much to me. And as a person, as he's seen what, because I grew up in coal country, what has happened and how he handled the coal boom when it first come on and everything, and he how he did that, you know, the Land Reclamations Act came about through him and many other people in the to help get it passed in the federal government. That's true leadership. That's true nonpartisan leadership. And then when I went to go see him, the lion in wait when he passed away, and everything. I mean, it was like, for me, it was like losing, I hadn't seen him in years. For me, it was like losing a family member. And that was it. His impression that he left, his legacy in North Dakota from my first meeting him in 1972 when I was 9 years old until he passed, away. And to this day, I get choked up by it because that's how much it means to me.
Casey Bookman is running for a seat on North Dakota's Public Service Commission. You can find out more at caseybookman.com. Casey, thank you so much for your time today.
Hey, thank you for having me, and I really do appreciate it. And just remember, everybody, go vote. Do our duty as citizens of the state and country to go vote. No matter who you vote for, vote.
Dakota Datebook is next.